Hello and welcome to America Weekend. Glad to be with you this weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone.
And I'm Leslie Gold. And I wonder, Valerie, if you and I and all our listeners can put on our legal hats for a moment.
I can do that.
All right. This is a really interesting case. The Supreme Court of Georgia, the highest court in the state of Georgia, has to decide the value of a dog. And the underlying case, I think, is fascinating. We have a little dog. Her name is Lola. She's a dachshund mix.
I love dachshunds.
Do you?
Oh, they're so cute and low to the ground.
Yeah. Well, this one is a mutt, but mostly dachshund from the looks of her. And she was 8 years old when she died of renal failure.
Oh.
And her owners allege that the dog kennel that had her gave Lola medication she wasn't supposed to receive. It ultimately led to her death, and the owners sued,
mm-hmm.
right? The defendant in the case is the Barking Hound Village Kennel. First of all, I'm coughing.
Do you have some water?
I have coffee, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. First of all, they deny that they're responsible for the dog's death, of course. But they mostly argue that dogs are property and that the only value that you can get back is the value of the destroyed property. And in this case, they got the dog from a shelter. They adopted Lola for zero. Therefore, the value of the dog is zero. Oh. Now, the owners of Lola spent $67,000 on veterinary bills and all kinds of related expenses, including dialysis treatment, all these things they were doing to trying to keep the dog alive. And they know the law regards dogs as property, so they're looking to seek the sum that they spent, right? They're looking to get back the $67,000 that they spent on the dog. They said the market value of the dog isn't the point. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, kennel's position is like a dog is like a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
When you break it, you throw it away and you get a new one. Mm-hmm. And it costs you $29. That's sort of the property under the law, but they're claiming that the dog is a different kind of property. Now, it happens that Lola's parents, Lola's mom and dad, are both attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So they're forging a new legal theory in this.
And they're not incurring any costs because they're both attorneys.
Yes. And they want juries to be able to consider a pet's sentimental value and the medical expenses paid by its owners when they're judging a case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very interesting. I also think it's interesting that these kennels, like this, what did I say the name was?
A barking dog?
Yeah, something like that. Hang on, let me attribute them correctly. The Barking Hound Village Kennel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit hypocritical to me. These businesses exploit the human companion bond, right?
Yes.
Because they say that they take care of the dog, they take care of this little love bug that you have, but then they simultaneously argue that the dog isn't worth anything. They discard the bond that you have if they're at fault.
They nullify the bond. They nullify it, right?
They benefit from it when it's to their advantage, but when then it's working against them, they claim, oh, the bond isn't worth anything.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, now, in this case, the owners of Lola had another dog, Callie. They put both dogs in the kennel at the same time. Callie had to take Rimadyl, which is an arthritis medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they allege what happened is they gave Lola Callie's medicine.
Oh.
Well, Callie is a big lab. So the amount of Rimadyl that they would give Callie would be a potentially lethal dosage to Lola. And they think that's what happened because when they picked up Lola, she didn't have any appetite. She began trembling and vomiting and experienced severe pain. And it turned out that she had renal failure.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I think this is an interesting case. How much is a dog worth? It can't just be worth what you paid for the dog.
How do you quantify that?
I guess to a degree what the dog meant to you and your family.
But isn't it true that when there is a case against wrongful death, it is based on their lifetime earnings or their potential earnings?
Yes, part of it is, and part of it is also pain and suffering. So, of course, a dog would have no lifetime earnings unless it was a trick dog and it performed in movies.
Right.
Right? Wouldn't have any revenue attached to it. So the law would have to rule that you could successfully sue for pain and suffering in the wrongful death of a pet.
That makes sense to me. Okay.
Yep.
So what's the outcome of this?
Well, we'll have to wait until the Georgia Supreme Court rules. But I'm hoping that they set a new precedent here, because I think it's time that the law sort of evolved with regard to pets. I mean, we as a country spend, what, $50 billion a year on our pets? It's obvious we love them.
Right. No, this is a great story and a great case, and I hope that they move forward with this kind of legislation, because it would be a game changer, truly.
Yep.
Good story, Leslie Gold.
Thank you.
Valerie Smaldone along with Leslie. This is America Weekend.
Listen with you. Science warns that the biofuel promise may make things worse than better. We now know ethanol creates more carbon dioxide per gallon than gasoline and generates fewer miles per gallon while abusing car engines, especially older ones. Today, we're actually competing with our cars for food, since ethanol now consumes almost a full quarter of America's corn production. And already, warming has frustrated the world's grain and seed production by over 30%. Seems the best way for you and me is, again, to drive fewer miles in lighter vehicles. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
A three-time winner of the Naismith Award and four-time All-American, this woman led USC to two NCAA titles, racking up over 3,000 points along the way.
Oh! It's rated a three! Tied at 63!
So where is Cheryl Miller now? Cheryl was head coach for 2 years at USC, but a broadcasting career beckoned. She currently works on NBA games for TNT. And in 2012, her brother Reggie joined her in the Hall of Fame, making them the only brother and sister combo ever enshrined.
We've got, in my opinion, the three greatest players ever assembled in one room tonight in Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and Cheryl Miller.
Cheryl Miller, one of basketball's best. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.